assurance of faith. That's what God's, that's what he's wanting to build in you. That's what he's wanting to breathe in you. That's what he's wanting to help you grasp hold of full assurance of faith. And as we saw last week, you know, with that we can have this confidence to come into God's presence. You know, just wow, that confidence. Man, I can just boldly come into his presence. And last week we looked at one of the hindrances of faith. It's when we're disappointed with God. When we've been just disappointed with, we've stepped out in faith in something, and we think, man, this just hasn't happened, and I'm so disappointed, I'm really gutted, and all that sort of stuff. And but not only is disappointment something that really knocks our faith life around, a big issue that lots of us have to contend with, or have had to contend with, you might have worked this one through, and I know it's been something that I've wrestled with every now and again, is I haven't got enough faith. Have you ever had that? Just me, you know? Oh, man, I haven't got enough faith. Oh, man, you know, maybe you've been in one of those situations and maybe you've been struggling, or you know some sort of well-meaning Christian and they've been, you know, struggling with something and saying, you know, there's a big real faith issue here and I've been struggling with it and I just don't know what to do and you've been, you know, praying about it and you're not seeing that answer for prayer to come through. And some well-meaning Christian, you know, they come up to and say, you've just got to have faith, sister. You need more faith. If you had a lot more faith, you know. Have you ever had someone, you got it, you are a woman of faith, I won't pick on you, I'll go up to Kathy because she can handle it, you know, not that you can't, but you know, you got to have more faith, you got to have, and then they pray for you, oh Lord, I just pray that you would release more faith than you can, oh yes, and they're praying, and you know, and it's like, and then they end up, you end up with whiplash, because and you're kind of shaking there and you're thinking, oh yes, you know, that's what you need. You need more faith. And if you only had more faith, you would believe you'll see it happen. And is having more faith really what we need? Or it's not a trick question. You think, like, yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? You know, you don't, you say, yes, no, it's not. Oh no, yes it is. No, whatever. You know, is it? Have a think about that. Don't answer that question. Hold it till the end, you know. Or somebody, you know, have you been in those sort of Christian circles and they say, we got to believe in the breakthrough. We're believing in the breakthrough here, brother. We're just believing in the breakthrough. We've got to believe, got to believe, got to believe. And yeah, you know, and there's a breakthrough coming on in your life, sister. And yes, and you know, and you're going, yes, I'm believing for the breakthrough, I'm praying for the breakthrough, I'm believing, I'm praying for the breakthrough, and you've got all those breakthrough verses, you know, and you're declaring them, you're praising them, you're shouting out, and you've got, you know, you're just kind of shouting a whole lot out, and you're looking for the breakthrough, you're hoping in the breakthrough, and as time goes on, you're thinking, I'm not seeing a breakthrough. You know, God hasn't answered my prayers, you know, and one thought leads to another, and you start thinking, maybe I don't have enough faith. My faith is not good enough. And you're a reader, and you've just read what this old book that was talking about a guy called George Mueller. And some of you might have heard of him. He lived around the 1800s, and man of faith, you know, just believed, did mighty things. He saw provision, he saw miracles, he saw signs and wonders, and you're reading this book, and you finish it and say, man, I just don't have faith like that. That guy, he's extraordinary, and I'm me. I just think I've faith like George. Man, I just don't have faith like that. I'm a mediocre Christian. Is that the right way to look about faith? Is it really based on the quantity or the quality of our faith? Is that what matters when it comes to our faith? Is it we've got to have more faith? If we have more faith, then we'll be able to experience, then we'll be able to claim the promises of God that are in this word, in this book, and we'll be able to claim them. We'll be able to see them happen. We'll be able to see breakthroughs happen. You know, more of God's promise, more God, life, abundance, love, joy, peace, provision, reconciliation. His power working in that situation that you have been really hungry to see him working in, you know. If you have more faith, then you'll see it happen. Is that how it is? Well, let's look at God's word and see what it says to us about it. And let's look at how I think that faith works. You may have a different opinion. That's okay. You pray about it and seek God on this. But let's look at his word and see what his word says, you know. And I think we get a great picture of faith in Hebrews 11 and 12, because it's kind of the central kind of the big faith chapters in the Bible, Hebrews 11 and 12. And 12? I just thought it finished at 11. No, it doesn't. Because chapter 11 is followed by chapter 12. And I said that in the first service. That's as far as I got in maths at school. 11 is followed by 12. And that's a really big theological thing, is that chapter 12 starts off with this, therefore. And the therefore is therefore. Why is it therefore? Why is it there? Because it's linking what went on in chapter 11 to chapter 12. And chapter 12 carries on in this faith theme. And at the end of chapter 11, this weird thing is said. He says that all these people, these wonderful, you know, we're looking down the corridors of faith from the Old Testament, all these amazing people, Abraham, Noah, Barak, and Gideon, Daniel, and Moses, all these great, amazing faith guys. It ends by saying, all of these people died without receiving the promise. And you think, well, that's an encouragement, isn't it? You know, here am I, you know, in my prime, 21, and I'm believing here, but I'm going to die without receiving it? Sure, man, that's not really encouraging. And then you look at it and think, but that's a contradiction, because Abraham, you know, the promise was fulfilled. They had a son, Isaac, and the line went on. It was fulfilled, and he saw it fulfilled. And Noah, well, he saw it fulfilled. Built a boat right out in the middle of nowhere. Everyone's laughing at him, saying, "What are you building a boat for? There's no water around here." Well, that was fulfilled in Noah's time. What it's talking about is that they didn't see. It's talking about the fulfillment and of the presence of Jesus. There's a greater promise coming, and that is Jesus. As we looked at last week, you know, the Old Testament is an unfinished book. It speaks of something greater has got to happen here. There's a fulfillment. There's got to be a final chapter, and there is. The final chapter is Jesus, because he fulfills everything that was written in the Old Testament. Every promise that was talked about in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus, and this is what it's saying. Therefore, there's something better by far, and that's Jesus. And all these people never received the promise. They die without having received the promise of Jesus. But the amazing thing is that you have full assurance of faith about this promise. And then it goes on and says, therefore, since we're so surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you know, massive cloud of witnesses, and let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance the race that's marked out before us. And so he's talking about faith, about running this Christian life, you know. This, some people say walk. Well, we're saying the marathon here. It's not a short sprint, it's a marathon. You're going to run this race, and you are going to finish it. And you say, well, how can I finish this race? Throw off every weight and sin that clings closely to you. Throw everything off, everything. In other words, get rid of all the hindrances you can, the things that are going on in your life, the sin issues, the life issues, the temptations that will pop up in your life from time to time that could cause you to quit the race and give up on Jesus. Throw all these things off. You know, there's going to be lots of things that distract us on this Christian walk or this Christian marathon, this Christian race here. There's going to be lots of things that distract you. There will be things that you know and things that you don't know, things that you understand and things you think, man, I just don't understand. God, I don't understand why this happened. Throw it all off. And throw off that lie that your faith depends on how much you have. Throw it off. Say, why? Doesn't it? I heard preacher preaching on it on a YouTube clip I was listening to last night. Delete it.
throw it out. And so, but what do I do? What do I do? You know what I do? Throw on all these things that hinder me in this race. You know, why would I throw that out? What should I do? Look to Jesus. Don't look at how much faith you've got or haven't got, how bad it is or compared to some other faith giant. Look at Jesus. Just look at him. This is the first step of faith, looking at Jesus. You know, some Bibles say you're to fix your eyes on Jesus. You're not to fix your eyes on church, but to fix it on Jesus. It's not the people in the church who irritate you and upset you and did something that seems to make them all hypocrites. Stop focusing on those things. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your circumstances, the things that are happening, the things that aren't happening. Take your eyes off that and focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Definitely don't fix it on how much faith you have and don't have. Throw all that stuff off and fix your eyes on Jesus. And the word looking here, look, gives the idea of concentrating your gaze. The way that it's written is that you should make this the habit of your life. You know, we so easily get distracted. Oh, man, I'm going to have faith here. Oh, man, look, this should happen, and that didn't happen, and whoa, 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 it's me, man. I'm the worst person in the whole wide world. You know, I'm going to have faith. I don't have faith like him, though. Oh, man, I had faith like him. You know, wow, things would be good. Oh, woe is me. And we concentrate on our circumstances and our grumbling and our moaning and complaining instead of on Jesus. Mark tells this amazing story. I was reading it this week in chapter 5, around 34. Of this woman who had a flow of blood. You know, all these people have written books and said, you know, this is what the flow was, you know, this, you know, what the problem was. And they've tried to diagnose it. I don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. But picture the scene if you can. Picture the scene of this woman. You know, she's got this incurable disease. It's probably drained her of all her energy. I think that would be what would definitely we would know. Would drain her of all her energy, probably drained her of all her money, because Mark said she'd spent a lot of money paying for doctors, a lot on doctor's fees trying to get this thing sorted out. And she had this disease, this illness, not for a few weeks. She'd had it for lots of years. In fact, it was 12 years that she'd been weighed down by this sickness, by this illness. And it seemed incurable. And she's struggling, you know, and probably with a sense of shame, because anybody that had a flow of blood like that, you know, were considered outcasts in society. And she's dealing with that whole shame and that whole sense of rejection, and she hears that Jesus is coming. And she's not like Bartimaeus. I think she's probably like a Kiwi person. Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, hey, over here." But she was like a typical Kiwi. I don't want to make a fuss. I know I've got this blow of blood. I'll just play it down here. I'll just go quietly. You know, I don't want to disturb him. Just let him carry on in his way. You know, if he wants to heal me, he will heal me. If he doesn't, then that's okay. That's okay, because I don't want to be disappointed. She probably had a fair share of disappointments. 12 years trying to get healing, and it hadn't come. I'm sure she did. And she sees Jesus walking by. She didn't say, "I've only had enough faith. I've got to have enough faith. I've just got to believe. I've got to believe. I've got to believe. I'm just believing in my healing here. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing." She, no, it's still, it's no, it's there. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. No, I'm still, the blood is still there. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. She didn't like that. I've got to have more faith. If only I was like George Mueller. I'm looking forward in history. I know it hasn't happened, but I need some faith like that. Moses. No. She sees him passing and she looks up to him and she reaches her hand out to him. She She didn't even touch him. It's almost like, I just get this feeling like Jesus walking by, just, and shoo, her hand brushes his robe. That's all. She didn't lay hands, oh, Jesus, gosh, please, oh, Jesus, heal me. No, it just kind of, whoosh. And in true Mark fashion, he goes immediately. Immediately, that's Mark's favorite word. So immediately she's healed. Immediately the flow of blood stopped, and then he said, she felt her body being healed as she looked to Jesus. That's faith. Faith looks to Jesus. Christian faith focuses on Jesus, who's the object of our faith. And Jesus, you know, it's not on the quantity, it's not on the quality, it's on the object. You know, Jesus said, you know, you could even have the smallest amount of faith. And he's thinking, oh, what's something, a seed, mustard seed, that's the smallest faith, smallest seed around. If you have faith that size, man, you can do extraordinary things. It's not size that matters. It's the object that matters. Faith always has an object it focuses upon, you know? I often smile, and you probably have too, when you hear somebody, they're going through extraordinary times, and somebody goes, oh, well, they've got amazing faith. Their faith will get them through. And I think about that, and I think, no, it won't. Their faith won't get them through. Having faith doesn't get you through, does it? Faith will never get you through your problems. You're saying, what? The object of your faith does. And there's a big difference. You can say, man, I'm having faith. That'll never happen. What is your faith in? And this woman was looking up and seeing Jesus. She was seeing the God of all creation standing before her in body form. She'd seen the God who has all power and authority on heaven and earth to do all things, which includes the power to heal. She reached out to him and was healed. Looked him, looked at him and saw him there. And as Christians, that's where our faith rests. It looks to Jesus, who's the object of our faith. But as we look at him, what do we see? We'll see that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's what he wants you to see this morning, the author and the perfecter. Author simply means that he's the leader. So, guys, I'll lead you in faith here. I'll show you what it looks like by my life. And if you trust in me, I'm going to lead you on this faith journey. And that's what he's wanting to do. As we look to him, as we see the life that he lives, we'll see an example. We see an example. He provides the perfect example of how to trust God and how to follow God. Looking at Jesus, we'll see the perfect example, how to follow and trust God. But he not only leads us in faith, he perfects our faith. I love this bit. You know, the word perfecter means to carry through or complete. It's translated perfecter, finisher, completer. And that's what he does when you look to him. He carries you through so that your faith is completed. Wow, I love that. Carry me through this, Jesus. But we think, no, I've got to have a strong faith and I can get through myself. No, he carries us through. He says, you follow me, I'll carry you through. And I'm going to bring it to completion. That's my promise. That's my guarantee. You got a godly guarantee here. He'll lead you. And those things that you've got your faith and put those promises he's given to you that you put your faith in, he'll bring it to completion as you travel that pathway. And so, well, what does that pathway look like? We'll see the pathway in Hebrews 11:1. And some people say, well, this is a definition of faith. I think this is the way faith works rather than it's defined. This is how it works.
This is a pathway of faith. If you really want to understand what faith is, look at this verse, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is the pathway of faith. This is the pathway that Jesus wants you to travel. This is the pathway that he's bringing us into at the moment so that you would go, man, I've got full assurance of faith here, man. I'm just pumped. I'm just a man, this faith thing. You know, I've finally got a grasp on it. This is what he wants you to bring you in. This is what he wants to do in your life this morning. He wants to bring you an assurance and a conviction. When we've got that assurance and that conviction, I think we will witness and see God doing mighty things. Signs and wonders, that relationship that you've been hoping would get restored, when you've got assurance and conviction, you'll see it. That healing that you've been looking for, when he gives you an assurance and a conviction that healing will come, you will see it coming. And he wants to bring that into your life this morning. And the meaning of the word assurance means a foundation. It's something that supports us. It makes us confident. It steadies us. You know, when we're standing on something that is a sure foundation, we know we're not going to fall over. We need that when it comes to faith. We need something that would steady us and make us to be able to stand. That's what Jesus gives to you. He gives you that confidence. That conviction that you're not going to fall over on this one. That unshakable assurance that this is going to come to pass. And you know, it's that conviction, that assurance. And then makes that confidence, sorry. And he brings a conviction to you. And conviction is something that's inside you that knows something's true. That knows that it knows. I've got this conviction that this is true. That's faith. It's not opening your Bible and flicking through it and going, yeah, this is the verse. I'm going to stand on this. I'm going to believe in this. I'm believing. Oh, it didn't happen. God, why didn't you do what your word says? You didn't get the conviction first. You didn't get the assurance. Because if you had it, you'd still be standing on it. You would know that you know that you know. Even if you can't see it, you will know. Because it's an inner conviction that comes through the Holy Spirit. And this is an amazing thing about God. He gives you everything. And he gives you the conviction, the assurance that you need, that you will be able to stand on it. And nothing, even if the things aren't coming to pass like you think, nothing's going to shake you. So often, you know, it doesn't come to pass. What do we do? Oh, man, Jesus, I thought it was going to happen and we've tripped up. He wants to bring a conviction and assurance in your heart. We've sung of the wonderful name of Jesus. Now will we receive it into our hearts. You see? Conviction comes from God. You know, in those trying times, we're convinced that what we can't see is real. The eyes of faith. It's not trying hard to convince ourselves or convince God. You know, have you heard those prayers? Oh, God, it says in Revelation 2, verse whatever, you know, and we chart it out. It's almost like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that verse. I guess I'll have to do it for you. You know, God, your word says, God, it's like we're trying to bend God's arm. Faith never bends God's arm. It comes from a deeper conviction. Lord, you've given me this word, and I am convinced. I'm deeply, deeply convicted in my heart that it's true, that it's you're going to work this way in my circumstances. I am convinced. Deeply, deeply, inwardly, witness of the Holy Spirit within you. It's not coming to a problem, an insurmountable problem, and God, you know, just hoping, oh God, move your mighty hand here. You know, I need that $50,000 just for the down payment on my Lamborghini.
I'm believing in you, God, because your word says, ask and it will be given to you. I'm asking for 60,000. That's chucking an extra 10, you know, for that down payment on my Lamborghini. That's not faith. But I'm believing in God here. I'm believing God's going to move in that situation. Show me the promise and show me how, and explain to me how God has convicted you and that deep assurance he's given to you through his spirit. Well, I don't have it, but, you know, I'm believing. That's not faith. I love the faith story of Abraham and Sarah. I don't know whether it's, we should never have favorites. It's not my favorite, so, you know. And you know the story, but it's such a neat story. It's told in Hebrews 11, but it's, and Paul also picks up on it in Romans 4. And, you know, Abraham's and Sarah in a tent one day, and God shows up, an angel of God shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. Really? And Paul says in Romans 4, verse 19, that Abraham knew that his body was good as dead. You know, I think my mind boggles on this one, you know. He's thinking, my baby-making facility isn't working. It's as good as dead, man. I'm 90. So is my wife, you know. You know, we're as good as dead, you know. There's no pharmaceutical company around that's ever going to be able to help us here. You know? And I'm thinking probably what most of us would think if we were 90. You know, I'm 40, and you know, God turned up to Jesus, Judy, a little bit over 40 by a couple of decades. And, you know, if God turned up to Judy and man said, you're going to have a baby, I go, oh, yeah, right, God. You know, we are downsizing the car and we've got to, it's just not going to work, you know. We'll stop right there because I'd probably turn most of you off. That's terrible. Romans 4, verse 20 says, listen to this. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He didn't waver, man. He thought, oh, yeah, I don't know, maybe. Listen to this. But was strengthened. Wow, I love that word. He was strengthened. This is what God wants to do to you today. He was strengthened. And the word means to put power in. To put power in. Suddenly, he wasn't wavering. He was strengthened. So there was power coming into him. And if you look at the verse, if you look at the word, it's in the passive tense. It's not active. It's not something, man, he put power in. He just, you know, had a Gatorade and phew, feeling all powerful. No. There was power put into him. Something put power into him. The Holy Spirit. An outward force came into his life and gave him the strength that he needed to believe. That's assurance of faith right there. And that's what we need to be looking for. I need your spirit, Lord. God strengthened him in faith. He took a good as dead Abraham and strengthened him in faith. And in faith, he gave glory to God and was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants to do in your life. That you'd throw off all that stuff you've been leaving in the past, that you've got to have so much faith, this amount of faith, the right amount of faith, read all the books on faith. We'll just come back to this. God, give me the confidence I need in the promises you're giving to me today. Abraham was completely dependent on God. He didn't allow his life to be determined by what was humanly possible. He allowed his life to be determined by what was divinely impossible. Possible. 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 He was completely dependent on God alone. That's faith. He's saying, Lord, I'm depending on you here. You will do what you've said you will do, and I'm absolutely sure you will do it. That's faith. You see, the story isn't dependent on the amount Abraham had or faith that he had. You know, God, we're just believing. We're believing. Sarah, we've got to believe in this promise. We've just got to believe in this promise. Oh, we're believing in the promise, the promise, the promise. No, he was believing in God fulfilling the promise. You see, the hero of the story isn't Abraham. It's God. And I think when we go, man, it's a man of faith I have. I have faith. Oh, wow, yeah, my faith got me through. You become the hero of the story, not my God who I put my faith in got me through. And there's a big difference. We steal the glory when the glory should always be given to him. You know, we so often do it the other way, don't we? You know, I just want to finish on this. You know, have you ever had a friend or been somewhere, you know, somebody's sick? You know, and you think, wow, Rick's just said he's sick. Rick, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I pray that Rick would be healed. Yes, Lord, I pray that Veruca on his foot would just go. Go in the name of Jesus. I just pray, go, Veruca, you know? Is it gone? Nope. Oh. We work on assumption and presumption rather than assurance and conviction. And when the healing doesn't happen, we start to waver in our faith. But Abraham never wavered because he had that confidence and that conviction, that assurance from God. God poured it into him. He strengthened him, and he wants to do that with you today. You know, I think that's what faith is. You know, I think that's what faith healers have. You know, we had John Mallow here last year, you know. He's like, oh, a man of faith, man, he's got so much faith. No, he's not. He's just a normal guy who has a deep God-given conviction and assurance in his heart that God has told him, God has given the promise to him that if he lays his hand on people, they'll be healed. He's just normal. We met him. He seems pretty normal to me. Got a few warts too. So have I. But he believes and has a deep, deep assurance that came through and comes through the Holy Spirit that if he lays hands on people, as God has promised him, he will see them healed. That's faith. Confident assurance that what God has promised us will happen. Not the verses we pull out, try to persuade God with, but the promises he speaks to us about and the assurance that he fills our heart in and with that it will happen. That's what he wants you to have. Don't work on your assumptions or your presumptions. Ask God to do this or do that and waver, reminding him of the verses and the promises. Instead, look to Jesus. Let him lead and show you the things that he's going to do in the situation that you're facing, the promise that he wants to speak to you about in that situation. Sometimes it comes through a prophetic word that encourages you. Ask him, you know, when you're facing a situation, Lord, what assurance do you want to bring to me here right in this situation? What's your promise for me here? And as you hear him, as you read in the word and it becomes clear to you, and that's why reading the word is so important, you know, and you get the promise, hold on to the promise, and as you do, as you look at it and keep thinking on it, knowing that Jesus has given it to you, I believe that the Holy Spirit will continue to strengthen you and assure you and give you the confidence you need to stand on that verse. Even when everything's shaken and it's not looking too good, you won't give up, but you will stand firm on that verse because you've got that confidence, you've got that assurance deep in your heart. That's the faith where he wants. It's not the size that matters. It's the object of our faith. Almighty God. That's how faith works. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to repent of our attitude that we come to you with. Our attitudes that we've read the word of God with. Proof texts that we can shout out to you and ask you to do, tell you to do. We repent of that attitude. We repent, Lord, of the attitude that we think we It's how much faith we have, the quality of our faith that matters. And Lord, we want to turn away. We want to throw those thoughts aside. We want to look at Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you lead us along the faith pathway, that you are our leader. We look to you, to your example. And we declare this morning that you perfect and complete our faith, that you work in us in ways that will bring it to completion. And we just come with open hearts, Holy Spirit. Breathe in us. Speak to us of the promises that you're wanting us to live in, to take hold of right now. And give us the confidence and the trust and the assurance to believe without wavering. We turn to you this morning. Breathe in us. Fill us. Give us the assurance now. Amen. I'm just going to finish with a song. You know, I just sense, you know, I could call everybody out, but I believe that Jesus wants to do some things right where you are. And as the musos just play quietly, and then we just have a little bit of time in that, and then we'll just stand and sing a final song. I just encourage you, just in the presence of Jesus who's here, to ask him, Lord, is the quality and the quantity of my faith been an obstacle to you? Has it been something that stopped me receiving the blessings and the promises and the provisions that you want me to live in? And if it is, if things come to mind, you might think, oh man, something came to mind. That's God. Cast it off. Lay it down. And then ask him, Lord Jesus, speak to me. A promise for me today from your word that I can build, or that you can build in me that confidence and that assurance that I need, that I wouldn't waver, that I would know that I know that promise will be fulfilled in my life. Because you are the finisher, the perfecter of that promise. Thanks, guys.